Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon.
Remember to pray for Mrs. Jones and I. I talked to her a little while this afternoon, and she said, be sure to tell everyone she misses being with you. She wished she could have been here. It sure is good to be back at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Now, I want you to open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. We'll look at verse 41. I guess you all heard about the lady went into the pet store, and she ordered. She said, I want 1,000 cockroaches and 100 mice. And the guy said, well, ma'am, I don't stock that kind of stuff. He said, I guess I could order it, but why do you need 1,000 cockroaches and 100 mice? She said, well, my husband pastors of the Baptist church here in town. And she said, last night the deacons met and they fired him. And they told him, leave the parsonage like you found it. So, be careful when you move out of that parsonage over there, brother. Amen. Not all great. Did you hear about the fellow went in there and robbed the bank? And just as he reached over to get the tray of money from the teller, why somehow or other he pulled his mask down, and so he put it back up real quick. And so he turned around, the lady in line. He said, "Did you see my face?" She said, "Yeah." Bam! He shot her right there, killed her right on the spot. Guy standing next to her, he said, did you see my face? Guy went, mm-hmm. Bam, he shot her right there. Shot him right again. So he said to all the others, he said, did anybody else here see my face? Fellow back in the back raised his hand. He said, I think my wife did. Hey, good to be back with you. Let's stand, please, while we read our scriptures. Numbers, chapter 16, looking at verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. You know, I think of all the things that the Bible tells us that God hates, I believe it's murmuring he hates the most. Ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among the congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation. Make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now, they that died in the plague were 14,700 besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the plague was stayed. Look at verse 48 for our thought tonight. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. I want us to think a few minutes on the subject, standing between the living and the dead. Our Father in heaven, we bow our heads tonight. We realize, Lord, the heavy responsibility upon our shoulder. I never come behind this sacred desk that I don't realize what a place, what an honor, what a joy it is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I shall never cease thanking you for calling me to preach. And then for giving me all of these friends, all of these people around the world, and these opportunities just to preach this glorious gospel. Now tonight, I pray you'll take it. I pray you'll plant it in the hearts of these people. May someone be moved. May someone be stirred tonight. Even here, may we see revival begin. Bless this church. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, thank you. Be seated. And he stood between the living and the dead. Now, I'm convinced that God is looking for men and women, boys and girls, young people who will stand between the living and the dead. Now, note the story. You have to go back to the very beginning of this chapter, but you'll see it. In verse 3, a man by the name of Korah and 250 men of renown, the Bible says, meaning they were well known. They were the leaders of Israel. They were the famous people of all the congregation of Israel. 250 of them, renowned, complained to Moses and Aaron that they were dictators and that they took too much authority upon themselves. These 250 intruded into the ministry with God's man, and God's wrath fell on them. The earth opened up and swallowed up Korah and his family. Then fire fell from heaven and burned up 250 men and their families, men of renown, men that were leaders, famous men. Everybody realized who they were. You know, this should have taught the children of Israel a lesson, wouldn't you think? But the very next day, as we read tonight, the people began to murmur and complain against Moses and Aaron that they had killed the people of the Lord. You have too much authority. You have too much power. Who do you think you are? My, what sinners. No fear of God. No respect for God's man and God's ministry. Let us not forget that Moses was God's man, God's prophet, God's anointed, a preacher of the word of God. Aaron was his assistant and the high priest of God. And God grew angry with these people. And so because of their murmuring and their rebellion, God sent a plague of death like a fog. It began to move among the people, and they began to die immediately. They began to drop like flies. People were dying everywhere. So then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces and began to pray for mercy for the people. God gave the answer. Moses said, quick, Aaron, quick, run into the holy place. Take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, put incense upon it. Go quickly among the people. Step in between the living and the dead. Aaron took that censer in his hand, and he ran. He ran into the tabernacle. He put fire there on it, and then incense. Then he ran out, and he ran between the people. That plague was coming across that valley. I mean, like a fog, and people were dying by the thousands. And he ran out there, and he stood like the man of God that he was, standing between the living and the dead. Look at the urgency of which Aaron ran with that censer. He ran into that tabernacle. He runs to the people. He realizes that every second count, he fills that censer with fire and incense. Back out he comes. He runs between this mass of people who are dying all around him. Here stands hundreds of thousands of people who are frozen in their tracks. I mean, with fear as this plague comes sweeping towards them. Aaron, 100 years old. Get this, 100-year-old man running. Can you realize? Can you see 100-year-old man running as fast as he can with that censer in his hand, trying to head off that plague before it destroys all the people? Can you hear those bells on the garment ringing? Can you hear the bells as they ring? Can you see the desperate look on his face as Aaron stands between the living and the dead, staying the plague, staying, keeping that plague away? Hey, what a passage of scripture. What a story. Hey, what a picture of humanity today. Dying under the plague of sin, which is far worse than any cancer, any kind of disease that you can come up with today. Look at human beings, look at humanity tonight as they are under this awful curse of sin. Everywhere you look, every place you turn, every street you turn on, every person you work with, just without exception almost, are taken with that plague of sin. I'll tell you what, we need somebody tonight to stand between them and the living and the dead. We need somebody tonight that will take their stand for God. We need young people. We need pastors. We need preachers. We need laymen. We need Sunday school teachers. We need folks tonight that realize that the plague of sin is coming and that it will destroy everybody in its sight. I gave you three things. We'll be through. First of all, number one, Aaron stood. He stood between the living and the dead. He made atonement for the sins of the people. On one side, are heaps of dead bodies, just heaps. On the other side are trembling live people. They're alive because this 100-year-old man is standing between the living and the dead. On one side, a couple embrace, rejoicing because Aaron is standing between them and death. There's a mother cuddling a baby in her arms, weeping for joy because Aaron is standing between the living and the dead. There's a whole family huddled together, rejoicing. Look at him. Look at Aaron. Hey, 100 years old, ran into that tabernacle, ran out there between the people, and holding high that censer, waving it up toward heaven with all the dignity, with all the majesty of God's man who stands regularly behind this pulpit and stands between the living and the dead. You know, that's what Christ did for us. When he stood on Calvary, he is making it possible for fallen man under the plague of sin to come to God. Christ took our sins upon him. He stood between the living and the dead. He died between two thieves, remember? One rejected him, one received him. The plague of God's wrath was ready to fall there that day at Calvary. This poor sinner was about ready to drop into hell. But Christ put himself in the place of that thief that day. And you know what? That's exactly what he did for every sinner. Jesus took your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders. And there that day, he died, he stood, he paid for that awful sin-plagued curse that you and I are under. He stood between the living and the dead. You know, as Aaron stood between the living and the dead, your preacher stands between the living and the dead. You see, your preacher, just as he did this morning, and just as he has hundreds of times, he makes the gospel available to all who will believe it. Every time he gives the gospel, he's standing between the living and the dead. You that are church members here tonight, and you that make the gospel available to sinners, you're standing between the living and the dead. Each church member standing between the living and the dead. The gospel, you see, it's a matter of life and death. The gospel is life to those who believe it, but it's also death to those who reject it. It's either life or death, either one, but it gets the job done. And so I'm saying, when you make a visit, you stand between the living and the dead. When you bring someone to church, some of you did this morning, some of you did tonight, you're standing between the living and the dead. When you teach a Sunday school class, you're standing between the living and the dead. When you sing in the choir, when you play the instruments or sing a special, you stand between the living and the dead. Oh, may I impress upon you tonight the awesome responsibility each one of us have standing between the living and the dead. Oh, I can't tell you enough. If ever there was a day that we need revival, if ever there was a day we need a stirring in our churches, brothers and sisters, it's tonight. Oh, as I all go across the country and see the deadness. Oh, how dead we Baptists are. You know, I told you before that Baptists will be first in heaven. Remember? Yeah, we'll be first in heaven. There's no. In fact, I got scripture to prove it. Amen? What is it that the Bible says the trump of God will sound? And the dead in Christ shall rise when? We'll be first. Do you know of a deader group on the face of the earth than Baptists tonight? We are dead. We need revival. Oh, how we need a stirring. Standing between the living and the dead. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, will you take your stand tonight? Will you give out that gospel? Will you stand like old Aaron between the living and the dead? Aaron stood. But number two, secondly, Aaron stood alone. He stood alone. Just a few hours ago, the people were ready to rip the mitre from his head. They wanted to take away the priestly garment. They insisted that those stones from the breastplate be removed. Oh, but now the story has changed. Oh, Aaron, we were wrong. Oh, Aaron, please, Aaron, forgive us. Aaron, stand, please, Aaron. These people, look at them. Look at all these people. Aaron, standing between these folks. He's standing between the living on one side and the dead on the other. People are dying everywhere. They're dropping like flies. But note what happened. Not knowing if that plague would smite him, Aaron runs into that tabernacle. He gets that fire and he gets that incense, and then he runs back out. Now, he didn't know this, but that plague is sweeping across that valley. I mean, it's like a fog. And here's all these people dying. And he runs in between the dead and the living, not knowing if that plague would kill him too. Did he know that? Did he have that promise that the plague would not kill him also? But I love what he did. He stood. Amen. And he stood between the living and the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, I say to you again, that's exactly what God wants us to do tonight. That's exactly what God wants this church to do tonight. And I'm so thankful that you're doing that. I praise God for you. The first time I preached at this church was about 14 years ago. And that Sunday morning, we started the revival meeting on a Sunday morning, Sunday school hour. And I stood up to preach right behind this pulpit. As I stood up to preach, I looked at the board back in the back, the attendance board. And that morning, this church had 14 in Sunday school. It was like preaching on the radio. I mean, I was standing up here preaching and all this. They had the balcony back in those days and all of that. And you looked out over and there was, it was like nobody was there. I couldn't even see them. You know, way up here and the people way down there and all. I called my wife. I said, I thought I was preaching on the radio. I couldn't see anybody. But look what God's done for you. You've got out there. You begin to stand between the living and the dead. God will bless that. God will bless your effort. God will bless all of us tonight. That's what he wants us to do. I'm telling you, friends and neighbors tonight, that's what Jesus Christ did. He stood and he stood alone. That day at Calvary, he was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning, alone. See, he had been forsaken. In fact, several times in the Bible, it tells us that Christ was forsaken. He was forsaken at birth. Remember, there was no room in the inn. He was forsaken when he was 12. His parents left him in the temple, didn't know where he was. He was forsaken in the garden. All of his disciples, they scattered when those people came, that mob come to get them. He was forsaken at the judgment hall. Peter, his own right-hand man, Peter denied him 3 times before that wicked crowd. Nature forsook him. There he is on the cross. At 12 o'clock noon, what happened? The sun went out. I mean, it didn't just quit shining. Brother, it went out. I mean, there was no light whatsoever. It was pitch black dark at 12 o'clock noon. Nature forsook the Lord. Even his heavenly Father forsook him. Remember, God Almighty turned his back upon Christ. Why? He could not stand to look at sin. You see, Jesus had your sins, my sins, all of his sins. They laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus standing alone. He stood alone at Calvary. He died alone. No one stood with him. But thank God he stood. Aren't you glad today that he stood? Listen, throughout eternity, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, old Bob Jones, along with all of you here tonight that are saved, we will not cease to praise God and thank him for standing and standing alone. You see, you Christians, well, I don't know what it is. I've got some kind of plague myself. I mean, I have blowed my nose since February. If we could ever find a use for that stuff that I blow out of my nose, man, I'd be a millionaire tonight. I mean, you know, maybe they could develop it. Some of you scientists here tonight, maybe you could start working on that thing. I have blowed gallons. And it just gets worse. It's blue, drip, 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 you know, and all of that. And you're talking along, and somebody will say, wipe your nose? Oh, yeah, you know, I'm old. Somebody has to tell me when to wipe my nose anymore. But I'm saying, listen, the preacher sometimes stands alone as he preaches. You don't know this, but your pastor's on call 24-7. He doesn't have it. Somebody said, well, he takes it up. Well, no, there is no day off for the preacher. There's no, I mean, 24-7. He's on call, on duty, day after day, night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year, standing alone. Thank God for a preacher that stands today. Thank God for somebody that'll take their stand for the Lord. But he must preach. That's what God called him to do. He's got to preach. I mean, he can't help it. He has to preach the word. He must stand between the living and the dead. Amen. That's what I do. For the last 52 years, night after night, week after week, year after year, up and down these hollers, up and down these highways, all across the world. I've preached in 14 different countries. I've been around the world, completely around the world, over 7 times and so on. I'm telling you, friends, that's what you got to, that's what God's called me to do. And I thank God he did. I'm not regretting one day, not one hour do I regret what God has done. It's wonderful to be in the service of God Almighty and stand between the living and the dead. You see, Christians, you may have to stand alone. You may be the only one where you work that's a Christian. You may be the only one at school that has convictions. You may be the only one that will take your stand for what is right and what God's word tells us we ought to do. You may have to say sometimes, I'm sorry, I just can't do that. At work, you may have to say, please don't tell me that. I don't listen to things like that. Would you mind, please don't talk like that around me. I just can't stand to hear somebody take my Savior's name in vain. You may have to stand alone. You may have to take your stand. My wife, several in her, on her side of the family, are getting married this summer. I don't know how many weddings. There's one after each other. I mean, one week after each week. I mean, just wedding after wedding after wedding. And we've been invited to all of them. And you know what I've done? I called every one of them. And I said, you've invited us to your reception, but I've got to ask you this. I said, will there be drinking or dancing at that reception? And the majority of them said yes. And I said, well, Sue and I won't be there. We'll be at the wedding, but we won't be at a reception. I'm not going to have any part in that if I know it. I mean, sometimes you have to take a stand. But you see, every one of these that I talked to said, Uncle Bob, we realize where you stand, and we appreciate your convictions. Oh, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes you just can't go along with the worldly things that are going on and things that are happening in our country. You may be the only one that has convictions about dress and about wearing indecent clothing and about smoking and drinking and drugs. But stand alone if you have to. But take your stand between the living and the dead. Stand alone. I'm glad someone stood for me. Amen. I grew up in a Christian home. My mother was saved. My dad was saved. My sister was saved. We never any question about going to church. Never any question about Bible reading, all those things. Oh, I was a good boy. Now, I got a spanking now and then. Any of you all ever get a spanking? It's a rarity, but did any of you? Sure, back in the olden days, amen. Yeah, we got spankings and all. Today, they're afraid of the social worker. Oh, my. If we spank our child, the social, what would you do, preacher? If you spank your child and the social worker came, I said, I'd spank her too. Amen. Hey, I saw this bumper sticker. You may have seen it. It's brand new. It's just out. I saw it on the car the other day. It said, spank your child when he is young. He might grow up to be a Democrat. I see most of you are Democrats here tonight, so I'm in the wrong place. I realize that. That's one story I do not tell in Hazard, Kentucky, in Hindman, Kentucky, in that area. Did you know there are only six Republicans in that whole county around Hazard? And you don't go down there telling jokes about the government and all and raring on the president and all of that. Hey, you'd be out of preaching, brother. They wouldn't have you in that part of the country, I'm telling you. Brother Morton, you know Carl Morton. Somebody asked him the other day, said, preacher, are you against, what do you believe about capital punishment? Oh, Brother Morton said, I'm for capital punishment. He said, I believe everybody in the capital ought to be punished for the way they've led our country down the drain. I said, amen, I'm for capital punishment, aren't you? But listen, I'm talking about standing. I'm talking about standing alone. And maybe you're the only one that'll take your stand. Stand. And then stand alone. And then number 3, Aaron kept on standing. He didn't stop. He didn't give up. Look at that. I can't get over this 100-year-old man. He didn't quit, even though they started murmuring against him. They accused him of being a dictator. They slandered his name. They lied against him. But no matter, he just kept on standing. Criticism couldn't stop him. Gossip couldn't stop him. The main leaders couldn't stop him. No one could stop this man. He's standing between the living and the dead. He stands there with that censer in his hand, staying the plague. Now, he stood till the plague was stayed, until it passed over. 14,700 people have died in moments, just a few minutes. And that, thanks to Aaron, the rest of the 2 million are still alive. He didn't give up. He didn't let the people down. They're all crying, "Aaron, Aaron, don't quit. Aaron, please." They're on their knees. They're begging this old man, "Aaron, please stand. Don't quit. Aaron, hold that plague. Hold it up. Aaron, stand." And he stood, and he kept on standing. You know, Christ kept on standing, didn't he? Yes, he stood at Calvary. He stood alone. And praise God, he kept on standing. He stood until every sin was paid for, until God Almighty was satisfied with that sacrifice. Every drop of blood that was required to pay for every sin, Jesus took care of it. He stood, and he kept on standing. Thank the Lord he didn't come down. They put him on the cross at 9 in the morning, and he stayed there till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours. He suffered all the hell, all the punishment that you and I would have had to suffer throughout eternity. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He kept on standing. And you know, your preacher, he must keep on standing. Your lost humanity is going to hell. He sees it. He realizes it everywhere he looks. He realizes every street around this church. Every one of them in those houses, with almost without exception, are lost. They're under the plague of sin. They're under the plague of death. They're under the plague of hell forever and forever. And so he says, "I must preach. Whether I feel good or feel bad, I got to preach. Whether you pay me or you don't pay me. Whether you say amen or don't say amen." Hey, listen, no cantatas can take the place of preaching. No plays will ever take the place of preaching. No movies can take the place of preaching. No videos. Hey, none of that can take the place of this man of God. Why? Because he's standing between the living and the dead. No amount of criticism, no gossip preacher can stop you from preaching the Word of God. The church I pastored in Clarksville, Tennessee, my office was located in the front of the building. Every Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, I'd come out of my office, and I had to walk down this long hall, about 100 feet. And every Sunday morning, this church member would meet me. He knew I'd come out of that door. Come out of the door, and he'd walk with me down this 100-foot hall. And as we walked along, he'd say, "Now, preacher, I hate to tell you this, but," he said, "you know, I've been hearing, and there's a lot of people really upset about you." "Really? You know, who?" "Well, you know, I know a lot of folks, and he said, "My wife's one of them. She's really upset, really upset." And he said, "There's a lot more people just like that." And you know what? I'd go behind this pulpit on Sunday morning. I was so upset, and I kept looking. I wonder who it is that's against me. You know, I was looking out, and, "Oh, yeah, I think they are. Yep, yep, yeah." All the time I'm preaching, I've got this on my mind. You know, here's this guy. He's accomplished what he set out to do. He's got me all tore up. He's got me all messed up. He's got everybody's criticizing. Everybody's against me. One morning I came out of my office. There he stood. I said, "Look, bud, here's what you do. Get yourself out of this hallway. Get yourself out of my sight. I want you to sit somewhere where I can't see you during the sermon. You can sit outside, you can sit in the hall, you can sit wherever you want to, but don't you sit where I can see. I don't want to see your face. I don't want to hear anything you have to say. If there's criticism, you let them do the criticizing to me. I'm tired of hearing your mouth." You know, you get in the flesh every once in a while when you're preaching, amen? I mean, you get upset sometimes, these people, brother. They rub you. But thank God Aaron didn't let that upset him. No amount of criticism, no amount of fussing, no amount of their murmuring would stop this man of God. And that's the way it is with your preacher. And that's the way it is with us. We must keep on. Are you with me? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you must keep on standing. People all around us are dying. They're going to hell. Hey, we started this service almost an hour ago. Reckon how many people have died in the last hour and split hell wide open. How many? I'd say a bunch, wouldn't you? I'd say there's a lot of folks in the last hour under that plague of sin. Oh, what an awful plague it is. They've dropped alive into that awful lake of fire, and they'll be there forever and forever. Our job? Oh, we're to stand. Stand between the living and the dead. Carry tracts in your pocket. Listen, I thank God I saw this. Every pew has tracts in it. There's no excuse. Ladies, fill your purses with those tracts. Men, never buy a shirt that it doesn't have a pocket. And put those tracts in there. Just like you used to put your cigarettes in there. Remember when you smoked? And you always put that cigarette in. First thing in the morning, you put your cigarette pack in your pocket. Now, first thing you do, put those tracts in your pocket. I do. First thing I do, I put my tracts in my pocket. I don't want to be left without them, brother. I'm telling you, we're standing. Everywhere you go, every place you store, every store you go into, every person you meet on the street, every person you talk to, they're lost, I tell you. They're on their way to hell. It's you and me, our responsibility. Lift up that censer of the gospel. Tell everybody that Jesus saves. Amen. What a story. What a story we have tonight. Oh, I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Don't you? I love it. I love to tell that story. I tell it every day, somewhere, somebody, sometime or other. Hey, listen, time's running out. Let us warn the wicked to flee the wrath of God that is to come. We have no excuse. None of us, young, old, I don't care who you are, none of us. Oh, the urgency of the hour. Stand. Stand alone, but keep on standing. Don't get discouraged. Hey, listen, don't give up. Just keep on going. Folks are crying. Men are dying. Souls are lost. It's our responsibility. Stand. How long has it been since you had the opportunity to one-on-one just personally tell somebody what Jesus has done for you? How long? Oh, try not to let a day go by that you don't tell somebody. You see, you're standing. You're standing between the living and the dead. In conclusion, you're going to have to watch this, preacher. There'll be folks come to you and say, well, now, preacher, you know, those buses are so expensive. It takes so much gas. And, you know, an insurance is sky high. And, you know, these kids, they come, but, you know, they don't seem to be getting it and all of that. You know, I think we ought to just drop the bus ministry. They'll tell you that. They'll tell you. And then they'll come along and say, well, you know, what about visitation? You know, nobody ever gets saved on visitation anymore. You knock on doors. Doesn't seem like there's any entry. Preacher, you think it's worth our while, you know, to meet here and have prayer and then go out and pass out these handbills and knock on doors? Don't you think? I mean, it's a waste of time. Looks like people could just, you know, witness at home or, you know, where they work. They'll tell you that. I can tell you this. All over America, churches have listened to that kind of talk. I could take you church after church after church after church. No organized visitation program whatsoever. No outreach for any children whatsoever. They have lost interest. They don't care. They've listened to somebody just like I'm telling you. What about Wednesday night? Wow. Did you see how many showed up Wednesday? Why? Not even half of the congregation showed up on Wednesday night. Preacher, we're heating this building. Look how much this electricity. It costs money. You know, it costs a lot of money to do this. Don't you think we could just have maybe a Bible study at home? Everybody could just study their Bible at home. All across America. Dropping Wednesday night. It won't be long they'll try to drop Sunday night. Are you with me? Oh, what's our job? Our job is just stand. I don't. If you have to stand alone, just stand. But keep on standing. Oh, I pray you will. I pray there's not a person here tonight ready to quit. I pray there's not a person here tonight ready to throw in the towel. I pray that everybody tonight will be inspired, encouraged, be like old Aaron, 100 years old, standing between the living and the dead.
If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.